following message is transmitted at the request of the Federal Kawhi Leonard Administration Association. Kawhi Leonard has been traded to Canada. Although the rest of the world has known for several months that Mr. Leonard would be departing San Antonio, this trade comes as a surprise to Akiva Wienerker, and thus an emergency podcast has been called for.
More updates will follow as information becomes available.
Welcome back to 32 Fans. As that intro said, this is an emergency podcast, but Akiva, really only for you, because everyone else in the world knew months ago that Kawhi Leonard was definitely gone. And you're the one who insisted, no, he's not. He's coming back. And
yeah, because it makes no sense. It still makes no sense that he left. Like, he would probably want to go back to the Spurs tomorrow when he realizes what he just what just happened. Like, there's no way he preferred to go to Toronto over San Antonio.
Well, okay, so let's talk about the trade. What's your opinion of the trade as a Spurs fan? Because I've been arguing with people all morning about this. Horrific.
It's horrific. Okay, you argue with morons.
Yeah, I know. You are correct.
It's horrific. The Spurs could have made this trade tomorrow. They could have made it in September. They could have made it in November. They could have made this trade the day before the deadline. The Raptors would have made this trade at any point because the Raptors had a 0% chance to win the NBA championship yesterday, and today they have a legitimate chance to win, to make the NBA Finals. Let's say nobody has the chance to win, but they have a chance to make the NBA Finals, which they certainly did not have yesterday. You and I, we had gone back and forth about Kyle Lowry, who was on my League of Leagues fantasy team. And you came up with a chart of players who were 6 feet tall or less, and when they stopped being good. And basically, that chart shows, like, Kyle Lowry is done. Like, he didn't hit a shot for 5 months this year. He was actually good in the playoffs. There's almost no chance he's going to be good this coming year, and there's literally no chance he's going to be good past this year. So he's going to a team with
Well, he's
nothing.
Not going to stay healthy. He could. Him and Chris Paul are at the stage of their careers where they can play 55 games and play 28 minutes a game, and hopefully he can be good in the playoffs. The problem with Kyle Lowry is he's never been good in the playoffs, but
except he was kind of good in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, this year he was okay,
but only partially because the guy the Spurs got, DeMar DeRozan, was so useless that he had to take everything upon himself. So listen, they could have gotten. I mean, I would have rathered. I had a thought this morning when because Shams broke this in the middle of the night. And he said it's probably going to happen. Like, I wouldn't have traded Kawhi for the entire Raptors roster. Like, there's nothing that's that interesting there. If you wanted a good young player, I guess Philly wasn't offering anybody. They weren't offering Saric, probably, let alone Fultz. I don't know if the Lakers ever dangled Ingram at all. But just don't make a trade now. Like, wait for someone to have an injury or someone to realize, like, okay, or even let Kawhi sit out and look like a moron and actually not get paid, because they'd already looked into it with the league. And, like, if he boycotted, he was literally going to forfeit basically, $1 million a week this season.
Yeah. So stupid fans are going to love this trade because the Spurs got sort of the highest profile guy they could possibly get.
If someone calls DeMar DeRozan an all-star in my face, I'm going to hit him with a baseball bat. DeMar DeRozan is not an all-star. An all-star is one of the 24 best players in the NBA. Nobody thinks that DeMar DeRozan is one of the 24 best players in the NBA. He happened to be in a conference where maybe he was one of the 12 best players or 12 most famous players.
Let's be fair, and let's assume for argument's sake that DeMar DeRozan is a top 25 player, okay?
He's not.
But I think
we could easily name 25 guys who are better than him now.
I agree with you, but one could reasonably argue that DeMar DeRozan is the 18th or 21st or something best player in the league.
I don't even agree with that, but I'm not going
to
hold you
up. But I'm trying to play the devil's advocate and then show why even the devil's advocate people are stupid. So let's assume for argument's sake that DeMar DeRozan is the 20th best player in the league. Which is fine. Now, that's not an all-star in the West, but whether you make the all-star game is irrelevant. The Spurs are a team who won 47-48 games last year with nothing from Kawhi. So you're adding on top of that a top 20-ish player. You're probably improving in wins to, let's say, the low to mid-50s. Your ceiling is you can make the second round. There's no chance of you getting past the Warriors or, the Rockets. And now what you have is a team whose best two players this year are LaMarcus Aldridge is already in his 30s. DeMar DeRozan is turning 29 in 2 weeks. They're both max guys. Your ceiling is the 2018-2019 season. The following year you get worse. The following year you get worse. The following year you get worse.
Nahon.
Correct. And that is why, yes, even if you're arguing that DeMar DeRozan is a top 20 player, this trade is abysmal because your ceiling is this coming year, which is when you want your ceiling to be 2 or 3 years down the line.
If for some reason DeRozan like puts up 30 a night and looks amazing this year and next year, like he can opt out of the third year. He has an opt out. So
exactly.
There's a better chance you're going to be paying $30 million for the corpse of DeMar DeRozan in two seasons.
Yeah, it just it makes
they didn't
no
get
sense.
Anunoby. I always forget how to pronounce his name. They didn't get Pascal Siakam. They got freaking Joey Capodil. By the way, the Spurs needed him because they only have two big men on the roster, one of whom is 41.
And by the way, and they get a draft. They get a first round draft pick this year. But this year, the Raptors, who already won 59 games, are going to be even better because they have Kawhi.
Yeah. Well, it's protected top 20, but that's moot because there's no way that that's going to be a top 20 pick.
Yeah. So, I mean, for the Raptors, I think it's an amazing trade. As you said, their ceiling, the Raptors have one more year or two more years at the most anyway. So if they get Kawhi and he leaves at the end of next year, again, Kyle Lowry's just about done anyways, probably. But what they do now is they were, I think, a step behind Boston and Philadelphia. And those are the big losers in this trade, especially Philadelphia. It boggles my mind why they didn't try and do something.
Philly looks insane. If they didn't make a legitimate offer for Kawhi, I mean, because there's no way that Toronto should,
Philly's GM has to be fired. Would you agree with that? Philly's GM has to be fired.
They don't have a GM.
Yeah, that's my joke.
Put it this way: if they had gotten Morey, which supposedly they had tried to get Morey these last few weeks.
No, there's no way that would ever happen in a million years. The only way they would have gotten Morey is if Morey said, "Okay, you hire me. Day one, I hire Hinkie as my number two. Day two, I quit and go back to Houston."
Right, I guess that's true.
That's the only way they would have gotten Morey.
Morey would have gone out and got Kawhi. Morey, like people think Morey's a stats nerd. No, Morey's whole thing is the only thing that matters is having superstars. I'm going to get Harden, I'm going to get Chris Paul. That's the only thing that matters. The Spurs have two very nice players who are far from superstars and have 0% chance of getting any better than they currently are right now. Now, they do have DeJounte Murray, who is a very good young player. They like Derek White, who they picked in the first round last year. Like, there are a couple of players.
Okay, DeJounte Murray is a decent player. They do not have a single top 100 player under the age of 29. And the only player
DeJounte could definitely be a top 100 player this year, but if we're making a list today, he wouldn't be.
DeJounte has a chance to do that, and Siakam and Anunoby have a chance to do that, which is why you should have got one of those guys. Of course, you didn't.
Yeah.
Now, I think part of the other problem is people give the Spurs so much credit, deservedly so, for how good they've been for the last 25 years. Now, again, a lot of that credit has to go with the luck of getting David Robinson as a number one pick and then getting Tim Duncan as a number one pick, right? There was no skill in that. Obviously, keeping them is a skill, and, obviously what they did with guys like Kawhi is a skill, but. So people are just giving them a lot of credit, but it really boggles the mind. They did not get anybody with upside. They did not get any player who will be better in 2020 than he was going to be in 2019. And that just boggles my mind.
Even Bill Simmons, who's wrong about everything recently, Mr. Baseball's not popular anymore, and that's why The Ringer doesn't have any viewers this week. And it's not because we have no good writers at The Ringer. It's who follow baseball, and we just have a bunch of people arguing over who's more underrated, Val Kilmer, Keanu Reeves. It's insane. But Bill Simmons kept saying, like, oh yeah, but they're gonna trade Pat. Like, their goal will be to just shed Patty Mills' horrific 3 or 40. They give Patty 450 last year, so do the math. He's got 3 years left at about $40 million. They didn't even get rid of Patty Mills' horrendous contract. And by the way, we just talked about 6 foot players who are 30 not being good anymore. Look how old Patty Mills is. They couldn't shed the freaking horrendous contract, or even Powell's contract. Powell next year has a $6 million buyout, and he's like 42. So you have to pay $6 million.
Yeah, I thought for sure that he was going to be included in the trade. I mean, the Raptors cap space
situation. In the rumors last night, he was.
Yeah, it's great for the Raptors. They also get this cap space, right? So they can offer max contracts next year. I don't know who they're going to get, especially if Kawhi leaves and if
DeRozan's done. What's the Spurs? This is obviously a win for the Raptors. If you were speaking to someone who doesn't think this is a win for the Raptors, then you should never speak to that person again.
Yeah, well, I have one other friend who's a Spurs fan. I don't want to out him by name, but he was loving this, and he was saying last night, "Oh, this would be so much better than it's an insane take." Any NBA player under 25 would be better than DeMar DeRozan on a minimum contract.
I agree.
A guy with some kind of upside.
There are, like, you look at Anunoby, whose name I keep butchering, like, there's 30 of him, like the Jaylen Brown, not even getting to, like, the stars, like Jason Tatum's, like, there's 30 of those guys in the league now. Every team has, like, a good young small forward or something that has some value. They didn't get any of those guys. They didn't even get a first, like.
So, okay, let's assume that let's give the Spurs the best possible outcome. Let's say they win 57 games this year. They make it to the conference finals.
How are they winning 57 games?
Let's just pretend. They make it to the conference finals.
They're starting Marco Bellinelli.
Yeah, they get swept by the Warriors, okay? Now what's your plan? Now what's your plan? You have Aldridge is 34.
They have the same team next
DeRozan's
year.
DeRozan's 30. It's crazy to me. It really.
They have the same team next year. I mean, Murray will be better, but they have the same team next year, except no Powell, and they literally have no big men on their whole roster.
Yeah.
And you know, Rudy Gay, who in a one-year contract, Aldridge, Rudy Gay is useful.
Yeah, Aldridge deserves credit for having had his best year in like 4 years this past year. But again, he's on the wrong side of 30. So.
And Aldridge is a happy idiot who's probably thrilled today. Oh, now it's for sure my team. I'm going to take 50 long twos next year per game.
Yeah, DeRozan also is the king of long twos. So
I do. The only thing I think is I think the Spurs, because if you look, DeRozan, who had tried shooting threes a few years ago and then realized he wasn't good at it and he stopped, he shot a lot of threes last year. He didn't hit any of them. He shot a lot. If you ask me one of the reasons why they did this trade, I think it's because they are under the impression that their shooting coach, Chip Englund, and their like system, you know, the Becky Hammonds of the world, can teach DeRozan like how to shoot a three. I think they think that they're going to... I mean, they had Pau Gasol shooting threes, which he had never done before, and the whole league is. If I had to guess, that's what I think. That's their plan. Because otherwise, you have no three-point shooting on the team.
Yeah, like,
but if they
could have got Jaylen Brown or Brandon Ingram or any of these guys who can also shoot threes and are on rookie contracts and are, you know, 8 years younger.
But listen, you were right. Nobody was offering those guys. They were wrong. Really? I was right that they should have offered them.
I don't think that's true.
Could you imagine if Philly had Embiid, Simmons, and Kawhi this year? First of all, they could have spent... Embiid's a cool guy. Simmons probably not a cool guy, but just because he's Australian. But like, there's no...
Anti-Australian.
No. The Australians don't seem to like him. He hasn't played for the Aussie team. They don't seem to like him. Yeah. But the... like, with 12 months in their system, maybe they could convince him to...
That's what I was saying all
to
along.
...to stay.
To
There's
me,
no way
to
that
me,
Toronto
Philly,
could stay. What,
Philly
he's going to stay
to
with Kyle Lowry at 34 years old? There were people... There's a lot of Toronto people in Rob's world, and they were like, what do you think of this trade? And they were all like, you know, you could, like, he dribbles down the court holding his back last season the whole year. Like, he's an old man who's falling apart.
Yeah. If Kawhi Leonard is healthy, I would say the Raptors' chance of winning the East goes from like 10% to like 60%, which is massive.
60 is really high. 60 is too high. But I mean, at 35, I'd say. Like, it's them, Philly, and Boston. There's three teams that have a chance. I would give them almost an equal chance, those three teams.
Look, again, they were the number one
Philly
seed.
Philly and third.
They were way ahead of those teams the last couple of years. And they just upgraded from DeRozan to Kawhi. If Kawhi is healthy and is playing 80 games.
And their young players are... And by the way, this could be a very moot podcast. Because Kawhi could announce today saying that, like, I'm going to sit out the season rather than, like, I will not fly to the country of Toronto.
But why? But his issue specifically was anger at the Spurs. Is he just... Why would he not play summer for a year and then be a free agent next year? Assuming he's healthy. If he's not healthy, that's another issue.
We're applying logic to a situation that really had none. His uncle Dennis and his incompetent agent, who has one client, are tried to, you know, listen, they did this a few years ago when they were like, we're not signing, you know, the extension. Like, okay, well, then you're like, you're out of the league. Like, what are you going to do? Like, you have no option. I guarantee you that unless Kawhi, like, wins a championship with Toronto or signs with LA next year and, like, wins a championship with LeBron next year, like, he will give some interview in 2 years to Woj saying, like, I made a big mistake. I should have stayed with the Spurs. And that will, like, absolutely break my heart. This is insane. Why would you leave?
Yeah,
I wrote this on Twitter. My Major League Baseball team is about to start Tim Tebow in center field for the rest of the season. Like, that's actually going to happen in a few weeks. Tim Tebow has been crushing the ball in Double A. I can guarantee you they're going to call him up, and he's going to be hitting cleanup, like, and with reason, because he's going to be their fourth best hitter. And my basketball team, which has been a championship contender since 1989, just moved today to be a 200-1 shot to win the NBA Finals in June. They were 80-1 beforehand. My football team has the longest odds. My college basketball team is about to probably be embroiled in some sort of FBI scandal.
Yeah.
So I got biathlon, and I have, I guess, like, my kids or something. I don't know. I don't have much.
Dark times for Akiva Wienerker.
This is terrible. I mean, I guess this is how you live every year with the Wolves. But, like, Zach Lowe said every 20 to 30, you could go 20 to 30 years without having a player like Kawhi. And, like, we're going to. There's no...
Yeah. The Spurs will not win a title for the next two decades.
There's no path to getting an elite player because they're going to be way too good. They made the playoffs last year. Like, I think Pop has lost his fastball, but you could argue he hasn't because he took a really bad team to within like a game of the third seed in a really good Western Conference last year. Like he did a really good coaching job.
Yeah,
last
I think
year.
That was a bad team. Coach of the year last year. I don't know.
Yeah, that was a really bad team. Like he squeezed the best year of Aldridge, and they didn't have any other good players. Like the second best player on the team was Pau Gasol.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So they're for sure going to make the playoffs this year if both good players are healthy. But that's it. Like so, then you don't get a top 10 pick. And by the way, even Kawhi was they squeezed the you know the 13th pick out of a team and got Kawhi and molded him into this player. Like that's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. I mean, there's no NBA anyway. Like the Warriors are the only team that matters.
Yeah. Well, the only fun part
your,
of the NBA
your best
now,
two players are fighting.
Yeah. The only the most fun part of the NBA now is like not the games, but all the other shenanigans.
Yeah, but once the season starts, by the way, and it's still fun to watch individual games. Like the NBA is still fun to watch.
I would rather watch an episode of Game of Zones that I've seen 10 times on a loop for 2.5 hours than watch just about any NBA regular season game.
No, the thing is, the NBA regular season, you could turn on the last 3 minutes of like a Hawks Pacers game that you truly don't care about, and it's exciting.
Well, okay, the last 3 minutes.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I would never watch the first.
I'm
quarter
not watching
of
the
it.
Second quarter of that game. Yeah, there's no chance.
No. But I'd say the fourth quarter of any game is interesting.
Yeah, but the NBA drama continues to be great, even like you know, the Warriors getting better and better. Like there is, you're not a Game of Zones guy, right?
No.
So there was a Game of Zones episode a season or two ago where Kevin Durant is going around and getting pitches from all the teams as a free agent about where he should go, right? And
wait, can you explain what it is? What is Game of Zones? I thought it was like a Game of Thrones parody.
Yeah, Game of Zones is an NBA Game of Thrones parody, but it's really it's not. It doesn't. It no longer
is it a cartoon.
Follows, yeah, it's animated. It's amazing. You have to watch it honestly.
And it's not canon to the NBA. Like it, like players are on the wrong teams.
No, it is canon to NBA. Obviously, players are on the right teams.
Okay, you were just gonna say they don't follow something.
No, they don't follow Game of Thrones as strictly anymore. Now they just sort of do Game of Thronesy type characters.
Oh, I got it.
Because they're doing NBA stories. So they do like the Brian Colangelo burner Twitter feeds thing. Or they do like when the Rockets broke into the Clippers, you know, the Staples Center to the locker room to get in a fight.
Yeah.
They do all that kind of stuff. That's amazing. So they did one where Kevin Durant is going around a couple years ago when he was a free agent deciding what team to go to. And, oh, so one of the jokes about the show is that Steve Kerr is a big pothead because, you know, he's advocated for smoking marijuana, which he says he's done before as a way to, like, alleviate his pain, his back pain. So they have Steve Kerr as a pothead. So he's going around every team, Kevin Durant, and he's hearing the pitches from all these teams. And then he goes to Cleveland. He goes to Golden State. And Kerr says, yes, of course, if you come here, people will say that you're just glomming onto a 73-win team. And people will say that you're breaking the league and da 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 da. But if you come here, we'll be long toke. And then Kerr with his bloodshot red eye says, so good. And that's like the reality. Like the Warriors are comically good. And so it's comical. Oh, it's enjoyable from like a comedy perspective. It's not good from like a competition perspective. But, you know, the game of zonesification of the NBA is the way that I appreciate the NBA now. So my team falling apart. I'm sure that'll be an episode at some point this year when Jimmy Butler, you know, bitch smacks Carl Anthony Towns in the face in the late fourth quarter of a game or something like that, and then storms off the court.
I have no idea what you're talking about. This Game of Zones.
You just watch it. I promise you, Akiva. I promise you, if you watch it, you will spend the next 2 hours watching every episode over and over. It's amazing. It's so good. You have to watch the special episodes. Like the Warriors actually requested a special episode made for them for with Inside Jokes, which they did. Before the analytics conference at MIT 1 year, they made an episode with Barack Obama in it. They're really, really good. It's probably my best show of 2018.
All right. Well, what else is going on with you? I haven't spoken to you in a while.
I don't know. I just watched all of Fauda season 2 in like a 12-hour period, which was insane.
You know, my parents, who have never watched a TV show, they watched Fauda.
Yeah. You watch Fauda, right?
My wife and I. Well, here's the thing: if I watch a show with my wife, then I'm 8 years behind. Like we watched, we're still on episode 2, season 2 of Mad Men, and we started when it started. Like I at one time she caught me watching some show, and it was like it was as if she caught me like cheating or something, and she was so upset, and so now I don't go ahead on shows we watch together, but I try
but
not to tell her about shows.
Yeah.
I try not to watch shows with her, but. So we watched that show, but we're one episode in after about 7 months.
Yeah.
Because she also has, like, she goes on, like, she only, she works out while she watches TV.
Yeah.
She'll only watch TV if she's working out.
Well, so do you. Like, you're doing those arm curls from, like, the bag of chips up to your mouth back and forth.
True. Like, bending down because I dropped all the pretzels.
Yeah.
but But she likes to watch comedy shows while she does that.
By the way, are you eating pretzels as a 35-year-old man? Because you got to reanalyze your life choices.
So I don't like pretzels, but...
Nobody likes pretzels, but they're addictive. A pretzel is probably the worst thing to eat as an adult because all it is meaningless carbs. They're not good. They're addictive. There's like no value.
No, pretzels aren't good. I agree. Yeah. Especially like
if they're dipped in chocolate or something, but you don't even like chocolate.
And it's the only thing that I could eat like a lot of. And then like if my kids have like a fruit roll-up and I eat that, then it's like, oh, hey, you ate my fruit roll-up. But if I eat like a quarter of the bag of pretzels, nobody says anything.
Nobody cares.
There's no food in the house. Right now, like they're out bowling right now. I don't know when my family's coming back. I don't know when my next meal is going to be. So I'm like a raccoon that just goes like, my wife, by the way, if there's a food she likes, this is true, she hides it. Like she has, and I don't know where her hiding places are. And if I find them, then she like finds another place. And sometimes my kids know, which like, this is a weird family. But
what is this food like, that she has to hide from you?
No, if she knows there's, it's not a specific thing. It's like, if there's something she likes that she knows I like, she knows that if I see it, that's it. Like, I'm just going to eat, I'm going to finish it.
How many hiding places do you have in your house?
I mean, like, there's cabinets that, like, she could put it anywhere. She could put it in, like, the laundry machine. I would never find it.
I guess that's true.
I don't know where she puts the stuff. I'll let you know. Yeah. I could go through, like, her, I could, like, go through all her clothing. I'm sure there would be, like, Reese's Pieces in there or something, but I'm not, you know, going to tear apart the house right now.
Did I tell you Jen had
did
this?
You see?
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, Jen had this epic Facebook rant. I wish I recorded it. I was actually like falling over laughing so hard.
So it was a rant about Facebook.
It was a rant about, and I'm not going to do it justice. I apologize to Dr. Jen.
It about the 32 fans Facebook group?
No, it was a rant about people who post on Facebook like, okay, ideas for what to do in Paris. Go. Like that kind of a post.
Yeah, that doesn't bother me. Why does that bother so much?
Jen is like, who the fuck do you think you are? That we're all sitting on pins and needles waiting for you to say go to us. Like now we have permission to do your bidding. Like all we're doing all day is just sitting and waiting for random Emily Buckstein or whoever it is to like tell us go. Now you tell me. Like you've all been waiting for me to give you permission. Go do my bidding. Like she thought it was really conceited and obnoxious people to do. So
I don't mind when people say go. I think this might be a her thing. Like, first of all, you don't have to answer. If it was like, hey, Jen Chester, give me your top 10 like Belgium recommendations. Go. That would be weird. But anybody could do it. And people generally like to help with that stuff. Like you rarely will have a post like that get no traction.
Yeah.
So I actually disagree with your wife.
Yeah. Well, my wife
go is fine.
My wife tends to be very sensitive to people's sort of narcissism on social media, which is the whole purpose of social media. So
she's not a big poster.
Yeah. Although she's been big poster lately on like immigration related, like anti-Trump stuff. It's like, you know, she's all fired up. She hates
we got to get her on Twitter. I don't know how people who aren't. You ever see someone who like Binny?
You remember, how do they know what's going on in the world? I can tell you.
How do you know what's going on?
There's a guy in my Facebook group named Ari Diskin, and Ari Diskin's only source of news is NewYorkPost.com. So every single day...
He's not on Twitter?
Every single day, everyone in our group is discussing some issue, and then 24 to 36 hours later, Diskin says, hey guys, did you hear what happened? And then he has a New York Post article.
Does he like watch Fox News the rest of the time? Like,
it's amazing. I don't know how on top of New York Post you are. What New York Post articles are, and this is literally...
Oh, no. First of all, I'm very online. I am extremely aware of New York. New York Post is one of the only websites I go to. You could literally like ask one of their writers who have like 50 followers on Twitter like to write an article about you, and they will probably do it that day.
This is what they do.
They get no traction on the internet.
There's a viral video on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it is. The New York Post article is literally a description of the 60-second video. It is a narrative description of the video, and that's it. That's all the article is. And Diskin... Yeah. That's how he finds out about these videos, by reading a description about them a day after.
And they also only have like 4 news stories a day. So if you're not in the top 4, you're out. You're not.
So another guy in our league made a joke yesterday about Trump's shameful performance at Helsinki. And he said like it was a day late. And so he said, oh, Disc, did you hear about it? It's on New York Post. And I went to New York Post to see. It actually wasn't on New York Post. The top article on New York Post was a teenager who had sex with his teacher defending the teacher.
Oh, they're very big into that. They love teacher sex scandals. Yeah. Their post. That there's like a few things they like. If you're like a 7'1" woman, they love that. If you're like
what's the tallest woman you've ever slept with?
If you have like a weird, any weird thing, they'll be very into that. If there's like a strange lawsuit, they love that. If you're like you went to get married and like someone. like sprayed the like fire hose and then like your wedding got ruined. They'll write 12 stories about that.
Yeah.
The New York Post is a weird site. None of their writers have any, like, are verified on Twitter or have any followers. It's just a strange thing. I don't think, like, I used to get the New York Post when I would take the train every day to work because it was a quarter, and it was just like an easy, it was pre-smartphones, and it was like an easy thing to read on the train.
I think the Daily News is better now just because it has, like, the angry covers every day, the anti-Trump covers.
Well, the Daily News is, like, very resistance-heavy now. The Daily News is, like...
Well, that's what the New York Post always was until Rupert Murdoch came and bought it and, like, flipped it around 180 degrees.
Right. New York Post is pretty far right.
Historically, the New York Post was grudges. The most liberal. And now it's the most right.
Yeah, if Rupert Murdoch is mad at someone someday, even if it doesn't fit the
Republican agenda...
Yeah, just
the personal
agenda.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right. They'll go after... They'll have, like...
Well, it depends who's mad at. If it's sort of like a low culture thing, it's the New York Post. If it's a high culture thing, he puts in the Wall Street Journal. But if it's like
right.
some stupid,
well, bit also of, the yeah. Journal has more like journalistic integrity, where they might not like. I'm not
well,
sure if they.
The news reporting does. The editorial page does not. The editorial page is like out to
right. Correct. Yeah. We're correct.
No, the news is completely straightforward.
I don't think the Post is like that though. I think the Post is like
there's no such thing Rupert as news. Again, their news is describing YouTube videos. What else? Do you watch the new Sacha Baron Cohen show?
I did. The problem is there's so much. I hate when like there's too much hype for shows and then like you feel like you've already seen the whole thing when you see it. I watched the last 10 minutes of the show, which was the gun stuff online beforehand, and the first 20 minutes weren't that strong. The Bernie stuff, there was really nothing going on there.
Yeah.
Also, four characters is a lot.
He was so funny in 2004. It's not like because he was getting people to say things that they would never otherwise admit. There's nothing that Donald Trump and his supporters don't proudly admit every day and brag about.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like, shocking.
What
right.
could
this
he get these guys to say?
What
can he get these guys to say that's going to be like, oh my God, can you believe they said that? There's nothing.
Right. Even 5 years ago, it would have been a really big deal that these congressmen were like in supporting
children
like, you know, four-year-olds with guns. It's not a big deal because there's actually people with like those are their opinions on Twitter that you're just getting to say with like your stupid costume.
Yeah, somebody wrote an article.
It was still worthwhile.
I think it was New York Magazine that basically said like political incorrectness is the new political correctness of the right. In the sense that you are obligated now, like if you're running for Congress as like a Republican, in the Republican primaries, you are obligated to be as offensive as possible by design. That's how you get attention and support from sort of the hard right. So it's not like, oh my God, he said something offensive. It's like that. It's not like an accent. That's the purpose. So, there's really nothing. He's not – I don't know who he thinks he's helping or exposing. He's not. It's a little bit played, honestly.
I do think – listen, I've been thinking a lot about this recently. But. Yeah, no, it's still definitely worthwhile to watch, I think. Everyone has an expiration date online. I feel like some people's are longer than others. Like, when you read Peter King nowadays, it feels very like he doesn't have his fastball anymore. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Did you read well, you don't read the hard copies of Sports Illustrated because you're not an 80-year-old man, but
No, what do you mean? I did, until this year, I still got Sports Illustrated because
I get it because I have like miles that are going to expire from airlines, and so you have to like get a magazine subscription.
Yeah, no, my grandfather, like, we got signed up for it in like 1990, and we had it for like I would come home from like 8 weeks away, and all 8 Sports Illustrated would be in my bed. But my mom is such a whatever the opposite of a pack rat is that like it just bothered her so much since I'm never home now to have like 20 of these magazines just sitting on my bed. So she just canceled it rather than like throw them in the garbage. She at one point was mailing them to me and was costing like an insane amount of money, but it was so important to her to get them out of the house that, and I don't have to go to the post office because when you like mail something big here, it doesn't go to your house. It goes to the post office. So I'd have to leave my house, which I've not really done this week, and like to pick up like 5 Sports Illustrated that was like $35 in shipping and handling. So that show was fine. Do you have anything else?
No, it's a slow time for sports. It's a slow time.
It's a slow time. I was very excited. We haven't really talked about me, like, my absolute dominance in the World Cup pool. Like, I'll never do better.
Haven't talked about that at all. Like, yeah.
I can't believe it.
By the
like,
person who came
in
second place in this pool, I've emailed her several times. She hasn't responded. She doesn't seem to want her winnings. I think she's German, so she might just be upset about Germany, embarrassingly finishing last in its group.
Well, do you know who that person came from? That's very
weird. Yeah, I asked the friend also. I'm not worried. I'm sure, I'm sure. I'm not going to, like, she doesn't have a statute of limitations of a week. You know, I'll pay her whenever she
wants. Yeah, no, she can collect whenever she wants. I didn't realize that person was a woman. I won't say the name, but
it's a female name. Yeah, you never know. But
is it? Do we have time to, like, fire Joe Morgan style, read through a terrible article, speaking of soccer?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so... I do. So if you find any horrible, like truly terrible sports articles, especially these next couple weeks, because we're only two more episodes after this before we get into the real purpose of this podcast.
Yeah, the NFL starts in the season starts in 50 days. 5-0.
There's two right. We're 2 weeks away from the actual 32 days part of 32 fans. So, but if you have any terrible articles you want us to tear apart these next couple weeks or ever, put them in the Facebook group or email them to us. So this was one, the worst one I found during the World Cup. It's the other magazine that my grandfather used to send to our house, the National Review. Are you familiar with the National Review?
Yes, of course. The National Review is a right-wing magazine.
Yeah, I'd say it's like what they would call on Twitter like neocon central. I don't really love the term neocon.
The Weekly Standard is probably a little more than the National Review, but it's somewhat similar.
Well, then the Weekly Standard is Jewier, which is why they would call it a neocon. But National Review is, I think, further right. They have like they would say that they're like never Trump, but a lot of those guys are sort of
they were very much never Trump.
They're too embarrassed to say they support Trump, but I think they probably do.
Well, they were extremely never Trump during the Republican primaries. In fact, they came up with a famous cover article that's literally said never Trump. And it quoted like every one of their.
But a lot of those guys have gone back on it. I think they still let Dinesh D'Souza write for them, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I know he did when I was.
That was the headline on February 15th, 2016 was.
No, I remember
Trump.
This. Yeah. It was like the only time anybody's ever heard of them in the last million years. Now, we've gotten that blue magazine sent to my house for like 20 years because I guess my grandfather signed up for it once and they never stopped sending it to us. And like when I was a kid, literally like way too young to be reading this thing, I was reading it and I'm like, okay. And then one day I realized like, oh, they've never been right about anything once. Like every one of their predictions, it would be like, this guy's going to be the next president. And then he like loses his primary for like the New Mexico governor race.
Yeah.
And like you never hear from him again. He doesn't even know Wikipedia.
So the point is, this is the kind of magazine that you go to find strong takes about soccer.
Strong takes about soccer. Like, yeah. This is where I get one. I want, if you've ever noticed, all conservative media has excellent sports and, or in particular, culture takes. Yeah. Like that,
let me guess.
Because they're the ones creating.
They love basketball, especially the outspokenness and ethnicity of its stars. They are not big fans of baseball. It's just too old-fashioned to them. And they love
too
soccer because it's international. There's nothing they love more than international institutions.
True.
Yeah.
True. Especially Europe. I think... I think like because the conservatives are creating like all like they're all the creatives, so I think they sort of have the they have their finger on the pulse of like what's going on in the culture world in this
sure. Yeah.
Because they're like creating all the content now.
Yeah, 100%.
So all right, so here's the article by a guy named Rich Lowry. Do you know him? I don't know him.
Yeah, Rich Lowry is the editor.
I've heard of his name. Okay. So there was no editor here to
He's a complete expert when he's known primarily for his knowledge of soccer.
So he's the soccer expert. Okay. Yeah. He's like the Great Wall of the Republicans.
Yeah.
All right. So he says, I'm a sucker for sports spectacles, so I've relented and watched a couple of World Cup games. I've lost some of my reflexive disdain for soccer. By the way, he probably printed this in 2014, 2010, 2006, and 2002 also. But it still strikes me as fundamentally flawed.
Fundamentally flawed. Wait, okay. So hold on. So this is a classic example of an American who watches soccer once every 4 years and immediately knows how to fix it. Okay.
Yes.
Unique
it's
perspective.
Not just... Yes, it's not that it's dull most of the time for the uninitiated viewer. In parentheses, although I'd prefer to watch a soccer game than an NBA regular season game. Nope.
Oh, shocking.
Jester, you were wrong.
He does
not
like
a big
the
NBA,
NBA
fan.
Yeah, shocking.
Someone please check on David French. I don't know. Didn't he like run for president or something?
Yeah, David French is another editor of the National Review who was sort of co-opted to run as a never Trump type Republican against him. Sort of
right. In like the Evan McMullen spot, but then he why did he quit? There was a reason why he didn't do it.
He didn't want death threats against his wife and all this other kind of psycho stuff.
Yeah, I know his wife's name was Nancy. That's the only. There's so much like nonsense. See, now I'm sort of envious of Ari Diskin not knowing anything other than what he reads in the New York Post because there's so many like names and like are you gonna know who Strizak is in 3 weeks? You're not gonna remember who that guy is. Like
Peter
there's so
Strzok,
many
you
things
mean?
You have to keep track. Yeah, whatever. You have there's so many things you have to keep track of.
Yeah.
Who would want to do this? Like this knowledge is useless. We should none of us should know any of these people.
Okay.
So the problem from my amateur's point of view, I don't know if that's English, is that the regular action in soccer can't be relied on to create scoring. So a lot of it happens as a result of interruptions in play and referee calls on corner kicks, free kicks, and penalty kicks. I watched some of the Russian
Croatia game. So what he's trying to say is that set pieces have resulted in more goals. Too many goals from his perspective. Now, they have resulted in a high percentage of goals in this tournament, I think like 25-30%. But that still means that two-thirds of goals are not coming from set pieces.
Yeah, but it's too hard to score without
penalty kicks. Why is it not exciting for there to be a goal from a corner kick or a set piece? That's like really exciting, I think.
Yeah.
Every time there's a corner, it's like must watch. It's like going into the red zone in the NFL. Why is that a bad
thing? I want more touchdowns from inside the team's 30.
This guy is anti the red zone channel. He wants the channel that only shows teams when they're between the 40s.
That would be like the no man's land channel. That would be a great channel. Like, you have to switch over if a team goes from like the 40 to the 20. Yeah. So he watched some of the Russia-Croatia game last weekend, which did have a thrilling finale. And the announcer kept saying after a goal something like, "And another big set piece in this World Cup." Well, yeah. What else does something happen? This creates the incentive for players to flop and pretend they've just gotten shot in the leg.
It's called diving.
If a referee
falls
for it,
but okay.
Yeah. If a referee falls for it, the tactic might change soccer history. And then there are the penalty kicks. They have too much of an element of randomness since the goalie has to guess which way to jump. This is absurd and makes ending a tied game on penalty kicks a travesty. In other sports,
so look,
there can be a similar dynamic.
That's not a unique take. Everybody doesn't like that. But how else are you going to end the game? You can't have seven overtimes like hockey, you know, because the guys are just too tired.
Yeah, and the quality of play from 90th minute to the 120th is,
it's
very poor. The guys are literally dying.
Yeah. Now, I do like, I say this on the podcast? The idea, I think I heard it on Hang Up and Listen on another podcast, about how to resolve the issue of penalty kicks in extra time.
No, how do you do it?
Okay, so obviously this will never happen. So this is purely in the world of the hypothetical. But it's an ingenious idea, which is instead of we play 30 minutes of lackadaisical soccer where neither team is really trying because A, they're exhausted, and B, they just want to go to penalty kicks, and then we go to penalty kicks and it's decided there, flip the order. Start with penalty kicks. Once you have a winner from the penalty kicks, then you go to the extra time with the understanding that the extra time will trump the penalty kicks. So one team knows that they lost penalty kicks, so they have to go balls to the walls to try and score a goal. Because if they score a goal, then they'll win.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of 30 minutes of neither team trying, you have one team trying really, really hard.
Yeah.
Now, again, it does create some sort of like wrong order of drama, but you know, because you're ready, but you know, but
it's also a very World Cup specific problem because you don't there's no such thing as PKs, like you know, as extra PKs in any
club,
form of,
well, that's because in club soccer
they just
go by the total goals of like the home
and even
home,
in the Champions League it's very hard to get. There's very few games where you'll see it because the away goals rule and stuff like that.
Yeah, but the away goals is also not exactly an exciting rule, but anyway,
not exciting, but other than the Champions League final and the World Cup, you know, round of 16 to the championship, it's not a problem with the sport because it only happens a couple times.
Now, it did happen more in this
years.
Tournament than ever before, but even it's still
but
dramatic.
Still, that's only like four games.
Yeah.
Okay, so now he's going to say that the randomness of the goal of the goalkeeper guessing which way to jump on a penalty kick is similar to randomness in other sports. What do you think he compared it to in football?
I don't know whether or not a ref randomly decides to call holding, because you can call holding on every play technically.
Not a terrible idea. Pass interference plays a big role in football. Baseball has its equivalent. Basketball has its equivalent of the set piece with free throw shots. I have no idea what that means. And hockey decides tied games with penalty shots in the regular season, although the goalie doesn't have to operate on pure guesswork to have a chance, and the playoffs team simply play in overtime until there's a goal. By the way, do you think like every goalie is equally as good as stopping these penalty kicks?
Yeah, and also this guy is such a liar because if they did not have penalty, if they had endless overtime and a game was 4 hours long, you think this guy would be writing, you know, it was great, that 4 hour long soccer game.
Right. But here's the piece de resistance at the end.
Okay.
In this sense, you're never going to guess what's the purest sport.
I mean, it's baseball or golf.
Oh, baseball is the purest sport.
Of course, yes.
It relies less on subjective umpire calls, especially now with everybody. By the way, there was a starting pitcher.
Literally,
there was a starting pitcher
pitch?
A few nights
oh
ago.
My God.
There was a starting pitcher a few nights ago who threw 27 pitches in the strike zone that were called balls. I forget who it was.
It's insane.
27 pitches. Especially
we now know. We now know that every single umpire has a completely different strike zone. Like, there's no sport that's decided more than baseball.
By the way, teams must spend so much time and money and effort into, like, guessing each.
Yeah.
You know, like, the guys like Kershaw, Scherzer, DeGrom, like, they must, like, know every umpire's strike zone inside and out. And laser strike zones will eventually bring more certainty to ball and strike holes. By the way, that would definitely help, but I don't think that's going to happen soon. There's not a big routine penalty that affects play, and there's no way for a team to go into a defensive crouch and to sit on a lead or otherwise game the clock. Yeah, he's never heard of kneeling in the NFL or running the ball the entire fourth quarter. Literally the exact same thing as what he just said. It's 27 outs for each team, no set pieces or fakery necessary. Now, I assume there'd be more, but that's the end of the article. If you have any comments, comments.lowry@nationalreview.com. So if you have any other bad articles, I'd love to tear apart bad articles these next couple of weeks.
All right. Is that it? Yeah. We got anything else to talk about?
Yeah, the Spurs are done. You did not watch the All-Star game last night, right?
No. Well, first I was working till late, but second of all, who cares about the All-Star game?
Did you watch the Home Run Derby?
No. A lot of my
You're not a Home Run Derby guy.
Some of my friends were talking, raving about it online. I was actually
Who was reading about what was going to happen in.
I was actually Monday night. I spent watching Game of Zones. I spent watching Game of Zones episodes over and over and over again. Actually, honestly,
is there anybody in our world that also watches this show that likes it?
Game of Zones,
or is it just is it a you thing? Like, have you gotten other people to like it?
I don't know. I mean, Sammy's the one who Sammy mentioned it in passing like a month ago, and I was like, yeah, that's that stupid show. I would never watch it because of the source. And then I actually watched it and realized like I'm a moron. Why was I not always watching it? It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I'll include a link in the show notes. There's nobody who listens. If you are insane enough to enjoy this podcast, there's no way you won't enjoy Game of Zones. It's just not possible.
But let's say you don't like Game of Thrones. Like, I don't, even though I watch it.
You don't have to like Game of Thrones. You just have to like the NBA. That's what I'm saying. It's not about Game of Thrones.
I don't even like the NBA. This whole podcast was about me not liking the NBA anymore. I don't like the NBA. I don't like Game of Thrones. I only like biathlon.
There's an amazing... Okay, if you do watch Game of Thrones, because they do still reference Game of Thrones from time to time, there's an amazing scene with LeBron and the Raptors. And, you know, I it's a spoiler alert in case you don't watch Game of Thrones.
No, I don't want to hear. Nobody wants to hear this.
It's so good.
Don't spoil
it. It's so good.
Do you know what my summer biathlon is? Do you want to guess which sport has been my summer biathlon?
In terms of something that you're now obsessed with this summer because you got nothing else to watch?
Not obsessed. I mean, I've been into this, but what I've not missed this summer. No, I hate the Tour de France. I don't know how to ride a bike. I'm very anti-cycling.
Do you literally not know how to ride a bike? I mean, I shouldn't be surprised, but.
Oh, well, I'm sure I've said this on a podcast before. I have no idea how to ride a bike.
And if you got on a bike, what would happen?
I'd probably fall right off. Like, my parents taught me how to ride a bike to the point where I could, like, ride around the corner, and then I never got another bike. I never went back on a bike. I've not been on a regular, like, I've been on, like, maybe, like, my wife and I taking the kids around in, like, San Diego on one of those, like, I don't know what they're called. But, like, I haven't ridden a normal bike since I was 9 years old. I've not been on a bike once since I was nine. I'm not a big fan of, like, methods of transportation, because I also am not a big driver.
Well, you're not a fan of transporting yourself anywhere.
Well, I like going on. I actually like public transit. I like trains and I like buses. I like planes. But I don't like to be in charge. I like to like sit back and listen to a podcast or something. Yeah. It's not my thing, riding a bike. Oh, so you didn't guess the sport?
That you're into. What is it?
Yeah. I've been very into the track and field this summer. I've been really enjoying it. You know, the Diamond League,
What kind of track and field competitions are there right now?
It's just like, it's basically a circuit. It's called the Diamond League. They have like 14 big meets, and then each one has like half of the main competitions. So it's like a mini Olympics, like every few weeks. And, you know, it's cool because every time you're watching, someone could set the world record. Someone could break, it's not going to happen probably, someone could break Usain Bolt's record. Someone could, you know, like run the fast time ever, like the fifth fast time ever. So I'm really into it. The steeplechase is really lit right now. The 400 meter hurdles is really good. I'm going to get you into it. The problem is they have the Olympics every 4 years, and then two out of every 3 years they have a world championships. So this year is the dead year. There's nothing going on. Like, there's no, like, literally some of the better athletes like took the whole year off just because there's no major competition. It's kind of a stupid way to run a sport. Like, imagine if, like, one of every 4 years in the NFL, there was just no Super Bowl.
Listen,
we're going to have a regular season, but no playoffs.
We're not discussing steeplechase on this podcast.
Should I start a separate steeplechase podcast?
What? Isn't steeplechase when you're on a horse and it's jumping over barriers and stuff?
No, no. Steeplechase is a regular race, except there's hurdles. You know what the hurdles are, right?
Yeah, that's what I said. And you're on a horse, though.
And there's a water jump also on the course.
So yeah, this is one, a thing people do with horses. Like, people do this without horses?
Yeah, they do it without horses. It's dominated by the Kenyans, but the Americans have really come back and tried to like make it their own, and they won gold and silver at the World Championships last year, the women, and the men won silver. And so it's dominated by Kenyans and Americans now. And one of them I was watching, this will fascinate everybody, the men jump at like 6 feet or whatever, 4 feet, and the women jump at 3, and the women were jumping on the men's height, and then they realized, and they were like yelling at the people in the middle of the race, like, you need to shorten it because we can't jump over the men's thing because we're much shorter, and it was a big mess. So
such
steeplechase, really.
Such a sexist.
Women are shorter than, I mean, those women were definitely taller than me, but they were shorter than the male athletes. Taller than me, I meant.
All right, this has been Steeplechase Update.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to start a separate steeplechase pod.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Who's going to be your co-host for that one?
Oh, you.
maybe it'll be Ari Diskin.
Well, maybe he'll find out who won the World Championships if it's on the New York Post website. Yeah, we should have Diskin on to like ask him how, like, just ask him basic news questions and see if he can answer them, like things that wouldn't be on the New York Post, like pro, like non-pro Republican talking points.
Yeah, but the New York Post isn't even pro Republican talking points. It's just like, again, I know it's just 2 day old YouTube
sometimes
videos.
There's this guy they cover as if he was like, you know, a really big news source. Have you ever seen this? He donates a lot of sperm. He's clearly not a normal guy. He comes from the background. He comes from our background, right? He grew up Orthodox. He's not anymore. And basically, he will donate sperm to any woman who asks, because he wants, like, if someone can't have a kid, he's happy. So he will, like, go, like, you'll meet him at, like, a Target. He'll go into the bathroom, like, masturbate into, like, a thing for you and give it to you. And he has, like, 75 kids. This is not a joke. His name is like Ari something.
He's doing this on the streets.
He does this on the streets.
On the streets of Target.
If you could fly him into whatever. Yeah. And the thing is, he's like, didn't really plan this out well. So like a lot of these women who have no connection to him just like sue him for child support. So he's worth like -$1 trillion because he has like 60 kids. And like a lot of them, you know, want money. You know, some of them, I don't think he like makes them sign a contract because he's like a weird guy. I also
By
think
way,
he has a
breaking,
wife and parents.
Breaking
like,
news, your beloved Darrell Rivas is re-retiring.
Yeah, Darrell's retiring. You know, he's definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer, right?
I mean, what the hell does first ballot mean?
Like, he should get in right away. He should be one of the top five, you know.
No, because there's too many more deserving guys waiting on the ballot right now.
He's not going to be in for 5 years.
No, but this is the problem with the NFL ballot. We've discussed this. There's too many guys who deserve it.
He's going to be number one at his position by the time he gets in, because Champ Bailey retired first, but he'll be in by the time Darrell's there.
So you're saying
he's not going to be competing with any members of the secondary. So like he wouldn't get in the first year. I think he probably deserves to.
All right. So I mean, I'm not saying I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I have him as the number 14 cornerback of all time.
Yeah, everybody to me that's someone who
everybody ahead of him is in the Hall of Fame except for Champ Bailey, Charles Woodson, Rondé Barber. So those are three guys who he's waiting on.
Did Rondé get into the top 15 this year? I think he did not. So Revis is going to be ahead of Barber on the pecking order.
And then if you're talking about...
Like, and Woodson is obvious. Woodson and Bailey are first ballot.
And if we're including safeties, you also have Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu.
Yeah, all those guys are getting in.
And John Lynch and Darren Sharper, who I don't think... You know, they're... I'm not saying they should be in
ahead. Well, Sharper is not even worth discussing. He didn't even make the 25.
For non-football reasons, yeah.
Yeah, but he's not. He's not ever going to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame of like most rapes in different states. That's it.
most rapes in different states.
Peter King. Speaking of people, I didn't finish this thought before. Like, there's just people who like used to like the ultimate is Rick Riley, right? Rick Riley used to have a fastball, and now he's an absolute embarrassment. He's like the Diskind of tweets. Like he will
throw you. No,
because no. I mean, I don't know Diskind so well, but I like him. But like, but there's no. There, like, if there's a news story, Riley will spend 36 hours thinking of a joke. Like, he's gonna have a joke about Trump and Putin tomorrow, and it's gonna be like a complete zero. He doesn't care about anything except for golf anymore. He lives in like he's like a poor George Clooney. He like has $50 million and he lives in like a smaller villa in Italy.
But you're right, because when we were 17, we would read that book of his old columns and devour it.
He was Bill Simmons before Bill Simmons. He was the GOAT. Yeah, he was Bill Simmons before Bill Simmons. Then Bill Simmons came. Now Bill Simmons doesn't have his fastball. Yeah. Peter King is like that, too. Everyone succumbs to this. One day that'll be us.
One day. As if
we never had a fastball, so we have no fastball to lose. I guess that's the good news.
Yeah, we're throwing it at 64 miles an hour, and it's high and outside anyhow.
We have a knuckleball.
Yeah, this is enough. I will talk to you next time the Spurs give away a superstar. In 20 years.
All right. I must have been high when I met you. Out of my mind when I decided to love you. Now I'm just trying to forget you. I must have been high when I met you. Met you. Out of my mind when I decided to love you. I must have been drunk off the world. I must have been. Could be married, could be mine.
be you. Y'all girls got me in a trance, hypnotizing, can't wake up, fantasizing. Could be Christina or Lucy, can't believe this, how y'all do me. You only call me to use me and abuse me. Always flying up, be stressing. Tell me why you keep me guessing. You keep guessing. I wish I had learned my lesson, but I wanted you. Trying to forget you. Forget you. I must have been high when I met you. Out of my mind when I decided to love you. I must have been drunk off your words, twisted off your kisses. I know I must have been. I guess I'm finally seeing clear. I know I promised I wouldn't call. I guess I'm just going through withdrawal. I must have been lying when I met you.
We got two pint-sized puppies. Stole my unit. They're westbound on the 409. One called Dave, one called P. They've gone full Chromio. Over.